But I don't care who you are. You get thrown on a show. It feels exciting. It's a change up in life. I necessarily wasn't prepared for those kind of things. And at first I was like, when my ego was getting bigger and the attention was coming on and I was starting to feel this fame thing, I'm cool, man. Like, you know, I'm not just that normal dude. I've got some swagger. And one of my best buddies, when he called me, he goes, "Cool, man, now you're just king of the nerds." And I was like, gosh dang it. Like, as soon as I started to feel like I was had something going, I got shut down fast.
So, and my wife said, "Hey, can I get a picture with him?" I'm like, "Honey, he's not going to be in the office, you know? He's going to be on the screen."
You're listening to The Radcast. If it's radical, we cover it. Here's your host, Ryan Alford.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Ryan Alford. Welcome to the latest edition of the Radcast. It's an interesting day for me, my friends. I don't always get to talk to some of my secret pleasures, which I'm going to talk to in a minute. Like, between my wife and I, you know, we don't have a lot in common, but we do have, you know, some secret things. You're going to learn a little bit about me today and some of our interests. But Ben Higgins, man, former bachelor, author, entrepreneur, I could kind of go on and on with the titles now that you're doing, but philanthropist. What's up, brother?
What's up, man? How you doing? Good to hear from you. Yeah, those titles are weird. Even when you say them, it's like, kind of. Like, I don't know. Let's just, we can hold the
two dudes back. How about two dudes just chatting?
Yeah, it's two guys hanging out trying to make it work in life.
Exactly. That's what we're trying to do. Exactly. Make it work. So, what's happening, Ben? I think a lot of our audience will have at least heard of you. I don't know how many Bachelor Nation people there are. We're going to find out. I'll find out in our DMs and everything else over the coming weeks, you know, how many either closet or real Bachelor Nation fans there were. But how things been going?
You know, things are, it's a super interesting season of life. And I kind of spoke out about it a couple weeks ago. I was doing an interview and it was a rough day. And I was kind of talking about, I feel like I'm a season of transition in a lot of ways, all for the better. The headlines came out. If you Google my name right now, I think what would come out is I had a breakdown. I didn't know I had a breakdown. I thought I was doing pretty good. What I meant was like, and maybe it comes from my faith, but like, when I break down things in my life and I transition, usually there's something that breaks through and there's some clarity and there's some movement. It's not always the most fun season. In fact, I don't really enjoy it all, but I know that it's healthy and it's good. And so I'm in a really healthy and good season, but there's a lot of like contemplation. There's a lot of things changing, a lot of questions unanswered. Don't know the path that's happening right now, but I'm in it and I know something good will come from it.
No, it will. And I think, you know, it's interesting. It's probably both the blessing and the curse of being, you know, my wife and I watch every show religiously, every season religiously. And you always stood out as being, I don't know, a little different as a contestant. Like I felt like you're one of the first contestants. I was like, not only could I have a beer with that guy, but I feel like he's like real and like transparent and like being honest about things. And I bet like both your best thing and your curse is probably like, and then those headlines hitting is like, you get transparent in a moment being Ben Higgins, being really you. And like, maybe it backfires like, you're not in some doldrum.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate that. That's one of the best compliments I could get. We could have a beer together. In fact, it's early in the morning here. If we could, but people bring that up a little bit. And at first I took it offensively, like, "Hey, you seemed really relatable. You seem like a normal guy." Those kind of things. And at first I was like, when my ego was getting bigger and the attention was coming on and I was starting to feel this fame thing, I was like, no, like, I'm cool, man. Like, you know, I'm not just that normal dude. I've got some swagger. And then over time, I realized I didn't. And I started to really enjoy the piece of being able for people to say, "Hey, I related with you," or you did feel different. And I credit that a lot to my family and my friends, because when I went on, when I was announced as The Bachelor, some of my family and friends were very excited. Some fans of the show. And one of my best buddies, when he called me, he goes, "Cool, man, now you're just king of the nerds." And I was like, gosh dang it. Like, as soon as I started to feel like I was had something going, I got shut down fast. And they always have done that, which has been great, because truth is, like, you know, I don't think I'm a terrible human, but I'm not that great. I don't think that my life looks a lot different than probably most people's. I just happened to get really lucky in my mid-20s and get thrown on a show that kind of changed things forever.
No kidding. Which I want to get to some of that, but I think, you know, just telling you and maybe pouring on the compliment or being more specific is, I think that relatability is your swagger. That is swagger, you know. Like, I think if the more and you get into social media and all the fakeness and everything else that goes with it, I think hopefully you've realized that's your true armor.
Yeah. Well. And honestly, right, I mean, like, and I'm learning this a lot about people, and I know we're going to talk about the book in a bit, but I've had a great year of being able to do things that involve a lot of people and hearing a lot of people's stories. And I think one of the best things about life is not acting like we got everything together. And not acting like we have it all figured out and not trying to put on a front to impress the masses, because that's pretty isolating. I think the one thing that just seeing people as equals and also at times seeing yourself as less than what it does is it allows you to open up your arms to a wider group. But when you find yourself thinking of yourself too high and that you're better than, it's isolating, it's lonely. And at some point that catches up with you. I don't know when. For some people can hold on to it for a long time, but not to go on a tangent here, but there's a great book called Pappyland, and the author of Pappyland, Wright Thompson, does this interview with Michael Jordan after his career is over. And it talks about the transition from being Michael Jordan, the player, to Michael Jordan, the retiree. And how people view now that, and how he doesn't maybe get the attention that he once did, and what that feels like. And so at some point it catches up with everybody.
I love Wright Thompson.
I just want people to be around.
I love that. But that's an interesting point. Let's go down that path, because what was that like and how has that played into? I mean, you're at the pinnacle of awareness and mindset and being the bachelor and being involved with that. And that will always be, you know, attached to in some way, but the highs and lows of that waning a bit, was that a challenge?
It is a challenge. I'll say yes. Because I don't care who you are. There's a few factors that play into this that I think are interesting now as I look back on it. There's a few things, but I don't care who you are. You get thrown on a show, you have lights, you have cameras, you have attention. People are asking about your personal life. They're even diving into your personal life. It feels exciting. It's a change up in life that I necessarily wasn't prepared for. I don't know if anybody going on that show is prepared for. But at the same time, you get all of this attention. I always almost had a grievance towards the attention, and this is why. And I think I can be proud of some things I've done since then. But I didn't do anything to get on that show. Like, I didn't work. There was nothing in my life that had prepared me to become The Bachelor. I have no skill sets that really I had worked on and tweaked. I had no practice at this. And so it's hard for me to have a lot of pride in it. You know, and at some point that hit me that, yes, this is a title place of my name. It's a reality television show. My buddy calls me King of the Nerds. And I don't have a lot of, like this isn't my identity. Like, it's not who I am. And so then and now, especially, is this switch in my mind from being known as a bachelor and having the thing that people most recognize me for as the bachelor, now becoming a husband in a few months. And excited for that and releasing that identity completely of being a bachelor. And then also knowing that, you know, I'm 6 years out of the show now. And so it's about my leg. It's like, what am I going to do with my life that leaves a footprint and an imprint in the world? Because The Bachelor doesn't really have much to do with that anymore.
I think that is right. And I never thought about it the way you didn't win. It wasn't like it was a contestant to become The Bachelor. They choose you. I'm sure you applied or someone applied for you. I forget that exact play for you. But nonetheless, you know, other than being, you know, a good looking guy and just an everyday guy that seemed to make the cut, like, you know, but now you look at what you're doing. And I do want to talk about the book Alone in Plain Sight. And I mean, because that's, I think that's what we're building to with what you're talking about. I mean, you know, like, let's talk about the book and, like, you know, I think we're diving right into some of the subject matter.
Yeah, definitely. Well, the book really came from a journal I've been keeping since college. And I went through some seasons of addiction and depression, some seasons of just confusion, disorientation, not really knowing what I was. And so I started journaling down a lot of my thoughts. It was recommended to me by a counselor so I could track like what I was thinking, and what I was feeling, cause day to day would be different. And as I got older and I went on the show, I started to write down that season of life and not only my prayers, for how this all turned out, but also just my confusion of what, like almost like a dream, like what am I doing on the cover of People magazine? I don't know. What is it like to have my family, have people show up to their house wondering, you know, if they were home? Like, it just almost felt like a dream. It felt really odd. I'd say disorienting is the word I've used and I continue to use it. And so finally I started to talk about how, one, I feel unlovable. Like I always worry that as people get to know me more, they'll like me less. And I don't know necessarily where that comes from as much as my own insecurity and my own ego, building into that. As I started to speak about that, other people started to say, hey, me too. You know, something I held so close to my chest that I never wanted to talk about. And when I finally talked about it, it was healing for me, but then it was also healing for me to see the masses say, yeah, I'm there too. And so I got the opportunity to write a book, and I knew this was the message I had to share, because I knew the personal struggle with mental health, with addiction, with feeling isolated. And I thought if I could write a book that would allow others to feel more connected to themselves, to others, to romance, and to God, then possibly it would be a benefit to not only myself, but maybe somebody else. And so that's where Alone in Plain Sight came from. It's why it's out there now. It came out just a few months ago, and it's a book, not necessarily just about me, but about me and a couple other people in my life who have had struggles, sorrows, and pains. And I'm hoping that the reader just feels and goes, hey, I'm not alone. Like, other people have this too.
What do you think? I'm sure you've talked about this, you know, but like, what molded you into this person that seems to be grounded and giving back in some way, which is what, you know, like a lot, I talk to a lot of people and they talk about their book and it's I, and I heard you talk more about others there talking about your own book. But I'm really curious though, where you feel like that guidance, is it just your upbringing and a, you know, good Midwestern kid, like whatever, you know, like what, where do you think that's seated in?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few things. I think one, the biggest thing is my faith, and seeing how my faith has not only disappointed me when it comes to the dealings, you know, especially when I was on the show, like with the church, but also saying, okay, if I still believe in Jesus, even with the disappointments that I have with the Christian tradition, then what does that mean? Like, what are the things within that that I know are healthy, that are dear, that Jesus spoke to? And one of those things is having a fear of the Lord is my strength. And I think the fear has been misinterpreted so many times. And really the fear of the Lord is having just an obedience to loving God and loving others. And so within that, as I make that a mission or a cry with everything I do, I'm not very smart, man. When I think about like making decisions, it really comes down to that. Is this loving God? Is this loving others? And then if it is, then I'd probably go and do it. And so that's one of the reasons. I just believe that we are meant for community, that we are meant to hold others with high esteem, that we are meant to lift others up and to use our gifts and our talents to try to bring something better to this planet. That's one of the things. The other, personally, is anytime I've gone on the path of I, it's never satisfied. It's always disappointed. It's never ended well. It might be fun for a while. It might feel good for a bit. There might be monetary gains. There might be other gains, but it always ends tragically. And I'm tired of living a life of tragedy. Tragedy comes no matter what. I don't want to put myself in the position to be disappointed all the time. And anytime I focus on myself, I find myself becoming very disappointed and very lonely. And so those are probably the two biggest factors outside of family, outside of good friendship, that have really made me go, okay, if I'm taking all this into consideration, what are the right choice here? And that's trying to make this about us and not about me.
I love it. A lot to learn there. I'm going to highlight that for our highlight clips for people to learn from, because some people get that naturally, but not many. And so I really admire you for holding true to your faith. Let's talk a little trends a little bit about, like, you know, obviously The Bachelor has become big business, you know, and, you know, from the influencer side for every contestant to, you know, the, you know, engagement sponsorships, all those kind of things. Like, is it like I'm in marketing. So like I've always watched the show kind of with that eye, which is probably a little different than the average person. But do you think the average person even recognizes the machine and the business that it is?
Now they do. I mean, you're hearing about it more and more, where people are getting criticized for not, you know, the show's always had this really beautiful explanation for people's intentions. You're there for the wrong reasons. And I can't hardly even say it anymore without laughing, because I hear so much in my other world, which is Bachelor focused. But it's a great way to explain it. And it used to be you're there for the wrong reasons, just to have a good time, maybe. Now you're there for the wrong reasons, to get the promotion and the fame and the monetary value. It's interesting for me to see the transition, because what people don't fully recognize, I don't know the data to prove it, but I would imagine the monetary compensation now is tenfold to what it was 10 to 15 years ago. Because there's so many new revenue streams that influencers are being a part of. When I started on The Bachelorette, Instagram still wasn't a thing. It was just getting started. And so this conversation wasn't even being had. I don't remember anybody ever asking me, like, after this, are you like, what are you hoping to do with it or whatever? Like, I don't remember having that until I was The Bachelor. When I was The Bachelor, Instagram was out there. It was kind of the hot new social media thing. People were using it. People were paying for it. And so I think I've gotten to see uniquely both sides, the pre-influencer side of it and then the post. And I kind of walked the line in the middle and saw it from both ends. It is a big business now. There's a lot of money that gets poured into it. I think probably rightfully so. Social media is a very engaged audience. You get a lot of people following people for reasons. But I think it's a really scary proposition too to some of these contestants to come on the show and they go from zero to hero overnight, and they don't know, like, immediate fame can be like suffocating, paralyzing, confusing. You can wake up one morning and have a million followers and lose yourself in the process, because it goes from you just highlighting your life and sharing it with family and friends to now asking yourself the question, how do I stay more relevant and how do I get engaged with my followers? And so your lifestyle starts to turn into that. You start to become a caricature. And I think that's scary. I think it gets really, really hard for a lot of these people in all aspects. Now it's transferred over to sports. It's transferred over to, you know, churches. It's transferred, you know, executives. It's transferred everywhere now. And it's something interesting to study.
Yeah. And hey, I have a business idea. Bachelor boot camp. You could start it. You know, like, here's how to manage all of it.
Yeah, that'd be great. And you know what? It also, that can just be a phone call. But I really love talking to any leads coming into the next season. I try to connect with each of them, especially the men. and just kind of give them, I really just want them to know that, hey, like, if I can do it, they can do it too. Cause it's a really scary thing. You're like, what in the world am I walking into? And it's like, hey, take a couple deep breaths. You're going to be fine. You're going to survive this and you'll probably thrive actually, in ways you can't even imagine.
So I know you're still involved. Like, obviously, like you said, you talk to guests, you come back to reunion things. I'm sure you're doing Almost Famous podcast with Ashley where y'all talk about it. I mean, are you embracing, are you, I'm sure at some point you're like, maybe we're like over it, but like, do you embrace now like that opportunity to still, you know, have influence in and around the show?
Ryan, I mean, let's be honest, like, life's been really great for me post show. I've gotten to do a lot of cool things that I'm really proud of, but I'm not naive enough to say that if I want to be doing, like, I want to have a book out that we're talking about, I want to be talking to you if it wasn't for that show. So I embrace it because I'm thankful for the show. Now, I know the show has its issues, and I know some people like it, some people hate it. I get that. I understand that. But for me personally, I'm very grateful for that experience. I always will be. It's changed my life for the better. There's so many things I could ask myself. Would my fiance now have answered my direct message if she didn't, you know, see the little blue check mark and go, this guy can't be that creepy? I don't know. And so, yes, I want to stay involved until the show no longer wants me involved. To try to give back what I can to something that did enhance my life.
I love that, man. I mean, so speaking of love, like, or hate, I mean, having been, you know, part of watching, I don't know if I never said I'm part of Bachelor Nation. I don't know. I just feel a little creepy.
You are.
I guess I am. I've admitted it now. Now that if I want a Big Higgins on my podcast and my wife and I watch it, then we're definitely part of it. But, you know, not to get in the controversy, but Chris Harrison was obviously a huge part of the show. I mean, he was, you know, the pillar of the show. We loved Chris. I don't really have anything to say or judge about why or how, you know, everything that transpired with him other than missing him already. I mean, do you still talk to Chris? I mean, what's your relationship there and how have you felt about all of that?
Well, you know, Chris is a great buddy of mine. He has been, I can't understate how incredible he was and has been to me personally and in these years of my life. As a friend outside the show, as somebody on the show that was always kind of a comforting force to me. And I think he was that for most people. I think most contestants had a good relationship with Chris. You know, this has been weird. It's a weird season. I think there's a comfort to seeing him on the television because it's been there for 20 years. But for me, I really appreciate him. Now, when it comes to the unique situation, it's a hard thing to process through, I think, for a lot of people because they've seen him for 20 years. He's held himself well for 20 years. If there's one dude in Hollywood that could have gotten Hollywood, it could have been Chris. He never did. And he goes on an interview. I think that the interview was not handled well. I think there was things said that if he could say differently or elaborate on more, could have been perceived better. And if he didn't do it, it was a bad interview. Now, did that have to end where he's gone forever? I don't know. That's a very drastic move. But I do think that he is missed by many. And I do think that he was always respectful of the cast and the crew. And he's still been respectful of me. So I do get to talk to him every once in a while. He still reaches out. But I also would imagine Chris is taking a little break from anything relating to the franchise. I think it's probably pretty hard for him to watch this season from a distance.
I'm sure. I mean, just to close on that, you think it's completely done? Obviously for a little while, but I mean, you never say never, or do you have any inkling if he would ever be involved again?
I mean, I don't, I was I found out about his departure officially as soon as everybody else did. I don't know any details of that. I don't know how somebody who receives a severance and who has kind of an ugly breakup can come back to a show with in the same capacity that they were before. At the same time, too, Chris is, 50 years old. He's had a really successful career. Does he want to? I don't know that answer, but would he want to even come back? I feel like this was the end. If I was a betting man, I would say yes, I think it's the end. And I just don't know. I don't see a path, at least if I put myself into Chris's shoes and the show's shoes, where that can be reconciled.
Fair enough. We'll just have to see. All you Bachelor fans out there, to be continued, but maybe get used to the new normal. And I think the girls are doing as good a job as they possibly could this year. I mean,
impossible situation for them.
Impossible. So,
they have half a fan base is mad at them just for taking the job. Another half of the fan base is judging them like they've been doing it for 20 years. Like what an impossible situation. But anybody would have said yes to that job, and I think they're doing a great job at it given the circumstances.
Agreed. Let's talk transition a bit into your kind of entrepreneurial journey with the coffee business and all of that. I mean, what's that been like becoming, an entrepreneur and, managing a business and all of that? I mean, how's that been going?
Woo! It's a roller coaster, buddy. So 3.5 years ago, I've been a part of a nonprofit called Humanity and Hope United since the formation of it. My buddy started it. And I was on the board and I was kind of in charge of fundraising. And at some point in time, we got really tired of calling our friends and family asking for money all the time. And so my buddy and I, who started the nonprofit, we just went on kind of like a week-long trip. We rented a car in Central America and started driving to talk through, to investigate ways that we could maybe figure out how we can fund better or maybe even tell a better story. And one of the things we came up with was, hey, what if we sold a product that's universally consumed, or globally consumed, that brings people together, that can tell a story behind it, and then we agree to donate 100% of the profits to nonprofits, and the nonprofit specifically being Humanity Hope United. And that's where Generous Coffee came in. So we decided on coffee. We sell coffee at generouscoffee.com. 100% of the profits are donated to nonprofits. It's a passion project for me. It's still nothing that pays me a salary or income. It has a bunch of incredible people around it. Some people even in your area that are ambassadors that advocate for Generous. And we sell it online mostly. We deliver it to your door. It's been an incredible experience because of the things we've gotten to be a part of. It's been really hard too, because we're telling this story, we're donating this money, and you'd expect it to catch on like wildfire and spread. And it's not been that easy, which has taught me a lot, because for a period of my life, a lot of things were pretty easy. And this has been a humbling experience, but also a really exciting experience because I believe in it fully. But yeah, to any of your listeners, thanks for asking. You can go to generouscoffee.com right now, buy your coffee. It would be a huge gift.
This episode of the Radcast brought to you by generouscoffee.com.
We'll have
links to the show on the show notes for everyone. And we'll pick up, we have an office full of coffee lovers. We'll get some ordered for the office as well. We'll
kick some back.
We'll put a subscription. You probably have a subscription service. We'll make that like the coffee of the next 6 months or something. At least we can.
Dude, that would be incredible. It's it's really fun because with the donation model, we do get to see the world become a better place. We do get to invest in these individual stories. We're focused on humans. We focus a lot in poverty alleviation and education, and job creation. And it's been a really like magical ride. It's just not always easy. And it's my full time job. I'm right when I hang up with you, I'll probably, I don't know what my calendar looks like today, but I'm sure I'll have something and I'll be trying to sell coffee. So I guess I'm working right now too.
There you go. Well, if you need marketing help, you give us a call. You never know.
Right.
What, What's the future hold, brother? I mean, where are we headed? I mean, we're embracing and staying involved with Bachelor. We've got Generous Coffee. We've got a book out. I mean, where are we headed? I mean, and I know you're figuring that out. You're getting married, man. I mean, you know, the Bachelor fully concludes, as you said, you know?
Yeah. You know, the future is really interesting right now. It is a season of transition. I'm investing a little bit more into things that I've always dreamed of being able to do. So I did start another podcast called Hope Still Wins. Hope Still Wins is interviewing people around the world who have stories to share and allowing the audience and myself to learn from them and with them, asking them the ultimate question, do they believe that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not? That's been really fun. It just launched a month ago. That's something I want to continue to do. For years of my life, and then this is kind of the clarity I have today. It could change tomorrow. But for years of my life, I was living for the last 5 years, especially when Jess wasn't around yet, starting things, creating things, finding new things to get involved into and take up my time. I created a apparel company that does print-on-demand apparel called My Fan Threads, and that kind of took off at the beginning, took up some time. Generous Coffee's there, Hope Still Wins, the book was there, Almost Famous is there. I have a couple restaurants here in Denver. So like all this was surrounding me and I was just trying to fill my plate. Now my clarity is that it's time to dive deep. For whatever reason, that scares me a bit. For whatever reason, I'm hesitant to dig in. And, I think I've been masking that with saying I'm so busy because of all this other stuff. And maybe I was, maybe I wasn't. I think everybody's busy at some level, but now it's time to dive deep and invest into these things and create within these things. So I think that's what the next season looks like, is really committing. And maybe that's the next word for this year. I just came up with it, but like commitment, like I'm getting married and I'm going to commit to these businesses. I'm going to commit to my friendships and relationships. Commitment.
I love it. And like, let's change all those articles from breakdown to breakthrough, brother.
That's right. I think we're on it. That's what I always thought I was doing.
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't really, it's not as catchy.
No,
I
mean, the downer sells, man, you know, clicks.
Yeah. I mean, it's not been easy. And I think that's one thing I'd like to highlight is there's been many a days here during this kind of like refocusing where I've sat alone and just felt empty and felt confused and disappointed and sad. And then there's been days where as I sit in that, I'm learning something like, why am I feeling empty and sad? What is it that I'm missing? What is it that I'm reacting to mentally? And so I knew over time it would come to a breakthrough. Like I knew my life was not over. I knew this stuff was not ending. I knew excitement was not disappearing from my life and that joy was still entering in. I just needed to focus on it for a bit.
Love it. You got time for a final segment we do. It's called Rad or Fad. I give you like one word, well, maybe multiple words, but a concept or a thing, and you can give rad or fad response to it. You game?
Gotcha.
And you can give context. It doesn't have to just be one word. You can, if you need to explain your answer. All right.
Okay.
First one, TikTok.
Oh, I knew you were going to ask about TikTok. I think it's rad. I think it's sticking.
Yeah, I agree. How about
which is sucks because I hate them.
Traveling to space with Jeff Bezos and or just space tourism.
Bad.
I agree. Being the Bachelor.
And like, is the show's going to be around?
No, just, you know, just the overarching. I think you kind of answered it already. But
it's a fad. Yeah. I mean, it has both like seasons of radness. And like for me, as I get married, I don't think my fiance right now is going to love it in 5 years if I'm still talking about my time as the Bachelor.
This is true. Smart. Hey, you're smarter than most guys headed down this path already. Indiana is a football school.
Oh, Brad, we're here to stay. Tom Allen, you got me fired. Tom Allen is one of the best humans alive. Everybody wants to play for him. If they don't want to play for him, they should want to play for him. We're getting 4-star recruits, 3-star recruits. We're getting a couple 5-star recruits. I am telling you what, Indiana University is on its way.
I love Alan. He's a coach. He's awesome. All right. What was our last one here? Oh, pop country music.
I hope it's a fad. I'm a big outlaw, red dirt country fan, Turnpike and Canadian Ragweed. And then you go back like the Waylands of the world. I turn on country music now and it doesn't sound any different. It doesn't make my heart ache. It doesn't make me want to pour a glass of bourbon. It just makes me want to turn it off.
I love it, brother. Good answers. Good answers. Well, Ben, I really appreciate, I know you're a busy man as we all are, but I really appreciate you coming on. And, you know, I think we've done a human highlight commercial here for the most part, but I do want to give you opportunity. Where can everybody find everything? A lot of, is there kind of a central location for all your stuff?
Yeah, there is. Probably my Instagram is the best place at Higgins.Ben. You can go on there. And like I said, if you drink coffee in the mornings, we'd love to give you your coffee. Read the book while you're doing it, Alone in Plain Sight. If you need apparel for your corporation, your business, your fundraiser, email or message us at MyFanThreads. Yeah, this is like a human infomercial, so I'm very thankful for it. Thank you.
No, man. Hey, you know, I get to self-select the people I want to talk to, and you've always been on the list, but I figured maybe we were getting towards a season of the right time, you know, coming a few seasons after the Bachelor, and always respected the way you handled yourself and as a fan. So, and my wife said, hey, can I get a picture with him? I'm like, honey, he's not going to be in the office. You know, he's going to be on the screen. So,
yeah. Well, maybe hopefully one day then.
No, I know when you get to South Carolina or you're in Nashville or something like that, let's grab a beer. Who knows?
That's right, Ryan. Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Hey guys, you know where to find us. Ben just said where to find him. We're at theradcast.com. I'm at Ryan Alford. I'm verified on all the channels. You can look us up, find all the highlights, all the content, and keep up with everything The Radcast. We'll see you next time.